The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Evening, so I invite you to open there to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're going to be looking through verse 11 of Ecclesiastes. Again, it comes right after Proverbs. So Ecclesiastes, we're basically looking at verses 3 through 11, but I'm going to start at the beginning. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, this is God speaking to us in His Word. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens or pants to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. On its circuit, the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, "See, this is new"? It has already been in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, yet to be among those who come after. Well, this concludes the reading of God's Word. May God now be pleased to add His blessing to it. There's a lot of talk in our day of progress. Our day is a day of progress. We have made significant scientific and medical advances. We have luxuries that most of world history has not known, things that we take for granted today, such as plumbing, machinery, telecommunications, internet, and computers. I still find it amazing that I can pick up my phone, call somebody 1,000 miles away, and within 3 seconds I'm hearing his voice. We also have travel like the world has never known. You can jump into a reliable vehicle and you can drive hundreds of miles a day. Long has passed the days of Pony Express and the horse carriage. We can hop on a 50-ton aluminum tube and safely fly for thousands of miles within a few hours and even use the bathroom and have coffee or pie. There are some of you that can check and adjust the temperature of your meat from your phone. Hopefully you're not doing it during church. But given how many advances we've made, we see our period as one of great progress. And because of this, we look down our noses at the past. What do those superstitious, unscientific people of the past know? We have science. And we also tend to be more hopeful for the future. We'll just keep progressing and progressing until we have our utopia in unity. If we just all come together and let the experts lead us, we will have it. However, Koheleth, that is this wise preacher here in Ecclesiastes, presents to us a much different perspective. He says all is vanity. In fact, vanity of vanities. In our passage today, he says, we are busy running in circles, laboring to death, only to get nowhere. There is nothing new under the sun. It's the same old, same old. There is no progress. And not only that, no progress can be made. As we see in the next passage in verse 15, what has been crooked cannot be straightened. Not even the most advanced knowledge or wisdom can change this. Now you may be wondering, okay, with all the advancements and progress we've made over the last century, how can this passage be true? Is it just speaking of their day and it doesn't have our day in mind? Can't we legitimately say we have new things? Computers, phones, automobiles, airplanes. The past can't say that. Isn't that new? And with our day of advancements and progress, shouldn't we have the expectations for a better world? How can this wise preacher be so negative? Why does he say that there is no progress that has been made? Neither should you expect it. Well, I don't have an outline for today. Just going to jump right in. See, right after declaring that all things are vanity, that is pointless, meaningless, empty, all things, he immediately goes on to ask a rhetorical question that gets to the heart of why he makes such a claim in verse 3. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? He's asking, what is the profit for all our hard work? What exactly do we achieve? At the end of the day, what exactly have we accomplished? Is the good we gain from all the work, is it worth all the thousands of hours you spend in your life laboring? And we may say, well, we've achieved so much. Life is easier, more comfortable. We have so much more than the past. Certainly we have gained. Certainly we have made progress. But listen to the wise preacher burst your bubble and rain on your parade. Verse 4. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. So here he's beginning to answer this question. And in this verse, we really get a big clue as to what he's driving at. What is he describing here by saying a generation comes and a generation goes? Well, he's describing death. He's describing the unending cycle of returning to the dust from which we came. He is talking about not making progress past the curse. As we're going to see, what he has in mind goes back to the Garden of Eden and the work that was given to man that he failed in and then failed to obtain the reward. But meanwhile, the earth remains the same. Man works, but the earth remains the same. The earth that we were to have dominion over outlast us. That's a reversal. We come and we go while the earth remains forever, as our verse says. Now, this Hebrew word forever can simply mean perpetual, constant, remaining the same without change. So the earth remains the same as one generation comes, works their tail off, and another generation goes, but the earth remains the same, and the pattern just keeps repeating itself over and over and over again without any change. And the wise preacher illustrates this with things of this earth in verses 5 through 8. He says, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around goes the wind. and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. All this busyness, all this constant motion, all this toil, nothing ultimately changes. The one endless cycle is on repeat. Things don't progress. They just return to the place from where they started despite all this constant activity. And what he's illustrating here is man returns to the dust from which he was taken without achieving ultimately anything new. And that's what he's explaining here. The sun rises, it goes back to the place from which it rose. Its cycle is not broken. The wind, the same thing. It blows round and around and returns to the place from which it began. The streams continuously flow into the sea, and yet the sea does not increase. It does not fill up more. It's this endless cycle. It's not achieving more. They may have even thought of the Jordan River back then. The Jordan River flows into the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea always remains low. Both the eye and the ear are included in this. When it comes to seeing or hearing, it's never filled up, no matter how much input goes in. All things are full of weariness, just constant work and toil, constantly on the move, and to the point that man can't utter it. Man can't fully describe all the toil that goes on, and yet nothing ends up really getting accomplished. This is weariness. When there is much work and no end goal in sight. Have you ever had a project where it's getting you nowhere? I know it's like every house project you've ever had. It's frustrating, it's not getting you anywhere, or you are working on a large puzzle and you get stuck, and that's when you decide to call it quits for a while. Or you're trying to write a song or compose a poem or paint a picture and it's just not coming together. Well, are you encouraged to keep going on? No, at that point you're like, well, I'm not getting anywhere. I want to quit. I'm going to crumble up the paper and throw it away. Or our children, do you do homework? And you're not really motivated to do it because you say, well, what's the point of this? Is this going to get me anywhere? Is it going to help me? And what do your parents say? Listen, again, you see, parents, you understand the reason, the motivating factor is it has a purpose. Well, the wise preacher is helping us to see that all this hard work in life leads nowhere. It's the puzzle that never gets finished. The poem that's never going to be good. The hard learning that will never be useful, but just thrown away. All this work, nothing breaks this cycle. There is nothing new under the sun. It's the same old from one generation to the next, which is what he says in verses 9 through 10. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before. Now, again, you may be saying, well, wait a minute, we have these new products, I have a cell phone, that's new relative to back then. But we need to keep in context what he's saying. He's not talking about new products. Rather, he is talking about something new that breaks this constant cycle of coming and going, the constant cycle of death, the curse that we are under. What he is saying is there is no breakthrough to this endless cycle of life under the sun. Even with medical advancements, we've had some amazing medical advancements, right? What percentage of people die today? 100%. Has man's sinful condition been improved? has man really grown happier? It's interesting to look at studies. All the vast improvements we've had to our quality of life, and more people than ever before are on antidepressants and anxiety medication. How can that be? Has there been any breakthrough to deliver us from this endless cycle of generations coming and going and remaining stuck in the same exact cycle? And the answer is no. And further proof that there is no remembrance of anything of the past. Verse 11, there is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. If there is something new, surely it would have been remembered. But things come and go and are forgotten. 99.99999% of people will not be remembered. They will not have any lasting legacy. And even though we have holidays named after people, just wait centuries from now. I mean, how many holidays do we have named after somebody from the Middle Ages? Just give it enough time. They will not be remembered. Not only do you not accomplish something new, you will also not be remembered. That sounds kind of depressing, doesn't it? Why is he saying this? Really, better question is, why is the Holy Spirit saying this? Well, what the wise preacher is focusing in on here is the curse. Yes, there's new products and technology. Yes, they have improved our quality of life in certain degrees, although it may be argued that it's diminished other aspects of life. Like kids sitting around on a table, they're all looking at their phones rather than talking to one another. I don't know, maybe they are talking to one another through their phones. Or an entitled spirit. Or simply using AI to write poems or solve math problems or fetch answers. You know, I was told about an app where you take a picture of a calculus equation and it immediately solves it for you. Or I was shown a new AI program where you ask it to write a Shakespearean-style poem about some obscure aspect of technology. You guys were there for that. Remember that? And it did very well and instantly. And okay, technology's improved, but does that improve us? I'm afraid it's actually going to make things worse as we lose certain skills because we rely too much on technology. But no matter how advanced our technology gets, it doesn't break this cycle of the curse. Nothing breaks the cycle of the curse. Generations come, generations go. Death continues. The earth remains the same. And this is because of the curse that God has placed on man. The work given to Adam in the covenant of works was one where it had an end goal. It had the end goal of a better world, of entering eternal life, of entering Sabbath rest, where he is confirmed in life in a better world, a world that is beyond the possibility of decay. However, because Adam disobeyed, he received the exact opposite. Stuck in the cycle of constant harsh toil without achieving a better exalted end, but only returning to the dust from which he was taken. Because God cursed the ground, thorns and thistles arise from it, and it is by the sweat of man's brow that he gains bread. And the end result of all this work is returning to the dust from which we were taken. And the cycle does not end. That is what Ecclesiastes is getting at. What Ecclesiastes is doing here is making feel the weight of life under the sun in the realm of a cursed creation. In all our busyness and work and living life, he really is calling a time out. And saying, think about this for a moment. Think about the world we live in. think about all the work you're doing, but missing the intended result of man's work, arriving at life eternal and Sabbath rest with God. You are in an endless cycle of the curse under the sun. You work, but you just return back from where you came. You bring nothing in this world, and you take nothing out of it. Something's missing. That's what Ecclesiastes is getting at. But as we feel the weight of this, it causes us to yearn for the solution. Not hope in this world, but hope in the work of another. You see, Ecclesiastes is not merely given the perspective of what life is like apart from God, because Ecclesiastes mentions God throughout the book. Rather, Ecclesiastes is giving us the perspective of life apart from God's redemption. Ecclesiastes is highlighting the need for redemption, the need for somebody's work to come and actually produce fruit and bring us out of this cursed cycle. And this is why God declares elsewhere in Scripture, in Isaiah 43:19, "Behold, I am doing something new." There's nothing new under the sun that man can do, but what is impossible with man is possible with God. God does the new thing that Ecclesiastes is causing us to yearn for. The new thing that God does is send a new and better Adam. The new and better Adam did the toil and work that the first Adam failed to do. He lived a perfect life of obedience to that covenant of works given to man. He suffered the curse in full by becoming a curse for us, wearing a crown of thorns and thistles. And his work ended by returning to the ground, being buried in the grave. But then something new happened. Rather than remaining in the ground and continuing this cycle of one generation coming, one man coming and returning to the ground, our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the ground, thus breaking this curse of sin and death. He rose to a life above the sun, ascending on high to the right hand of God. And we who believe in Christ, who are in Him, have been raised with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly places. This work, and this work alone, is what profits all who believe for all eternity. This ends our weariness and gives us rest. As Christ said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He gives us the hope that no eye has seen, no nor ear heard. And here, there is true remembrance, which is what we do in the Lord's Supper, when we do it in remembrance of Him. Something that Christians have been doing all around the world for 2,000 years, remembering our Lord and His work. Christ and Christ alone is the only deliverance from this vain world with toil that is vain. But now, as Paul says at 1 Corinthians 15, our toil in the Lord is not in vain. And so whatever we do it unto the Lord, knowing that our reward is with Him. We know that even a cup of water given to a disciple is not in vain. We therefore have great encouragement to toil for the Lord as we see life not apart from God's redemption, but in light of God's redemption, in light of the new thing that God has done. And therefore, whether we eat or drink, or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the redemption that we have in Christ. We're thankful for the book of Ecclesiastes to make us feel the weight of life under the sun so that we don't place our hope in this world, but in Christ who brings us to the world to come, life above the sun. Help us to look to Him. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.